Hello and welcome to season 3 of Mum's Work and Chaos. We all know the saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but where is that village? Well, I started this podcast to help you find yours, and I'm joined by some amazing guests this season, talking about subjects such as fast fashion, menopause, sex education, and teenage behaviour, just to name a few. So join me this season, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to the first episode of season 3 of Mum's Work and Chaos. Today I'm joined by my wonderful friend Axinia, who is a returning guest. And just for a bit of backstory on how we met on Instagram. We met over our joint disdain for having to attend baby groups with our children.
How millennial are we, okay? How millennial are we? On Instagram,
of all honestly, places, yeah. We are true millennial mums, and the joke is that we actually didn't grow up too far away from each other. Both London girls, really? and it took us God knows how many miles with you in all the way in New Zealand and the joys of Instagram for us to connect. But here we are.
And now over our mutual disdain for toddlers. Toddler groups.
Oh yeah, man, those things. I mean, like, if you love them, you love them. No judgment here, that's cool. But I was always late. I was always the one with the baby who wanted feeding and a nap literally as soon as we sat down, and then I was the one left holding the maracas and joining in to whatever seasonal song we were singing at the time.
As soon as I would, my mum would be like, "Oh, I want to go to this thing." Like, you know, the thought of going to one would make me want to bark. You know, like, it was just
I was there under duress. It was like my mum and my husband were like, "Oh, you should probably get out a bit." And honestly, like, I know it now. I mean, this episode we're going to cover a whole load of stuff, but we are Axinia has. And this is so exciting. Just announced that she's going to be starting her own podcast, which I'm really excited about, about mental health. So this leads very well into the rest of my story about having to attend baby groups. And that was basically...
how they're very bad for your mental health. Very, very bad.
Yeah, but I had no idea that I was going through so much when I had my eldest. I had no idea at all. So I had anxiety about leaving the house. I was so worried that she would cry when I was out and that people would look at me, which sounds really stupid. No, I exclusively breastfed as well. So I was worried that I heard all these stories about people like coming up to you in cafes and telling you how disgusting you were for feeding your child. But, and so I had this anxiety about that as well. It's like, seriously, if you're that offended, go somewhere else. Keep your opinions to yourself. And then I was the first in my friends group to have baby. And also I was the only one who lived where I lived as well, because we had to move out of London. We couldn't afford to carry on living there. And so I was isolated, I was depressed, and I was suffering from anxiety, and I had no idea. And so the idea of going to a baby group scared the absolute shit out of me. And so the first one I signed up for was completely free. It was run by Barnardo's, and it was at the children's centre, literally on my road. So I couldn't really not go. It was full of mums who were all in competition with each other. That was at the time of the weekly weigh-in as well. And so you could get your child weighed and plot their growth and all that bollocks. And they'd feed their babies and literally they'd give them a bottle or they breastfeed them just before they got them weighed, so they were heavier. It was that sort of competition. No, it was awful.
It's like doing a big fat poo before Weight Watchers. Like,
drink all the laxatives before you go to Slimming World and see what happens. But they'd feed their baby so they were fatter when they got weighed. And then I was literally sat there and I was like, I don't fit in here. And then this girl next to me was like, what the fuck is going on here? And I was like, I've got no idea. And then And that's how we bonded over our like absolute shock about what was going on and these strange people who were literally doing this sort of
Oh,
stuff.
mums are nuts. Mums are nuts. And I've got to say, I love where I live just because, I mean, there might be some of that here. If there is, I haven't experienced it. Like, genuinely, genuinely. And I must say, like, everything you experienced that you mentioned there, yes, I experienced that with my elder two because they were both born in the UK. And I did experience that. Like, the constant competition about the milestones and the, this other stuff, like, yeah, it's okay, you're trying to school them, but like, it was this huge thing. And then you move over here and genuinely no one cares.
This is the thing, like,
Genuinely, everybody's just getting, you're just genuinely on everybody else's side. Like, you're all just on each other's side. It's like, yeah, we know parents is hard. Like, you see a kid throwing a tantrum in a supermarket, you're more likely to high five the parents than judge them. Whereas over there, it was different. For
I
me,
think
anyway,
that
I was like,
things
no,
are starting to change a lot more now, though. Like with with the advent of more mums showing the realities of things on Instagram as well, I think things are starting to change. And I think honestly, it is the older generation who have most of the problems. Like, there's us, and then luckily we've got the Gen Zs below us who are now old enough to be having their own kids and have also, sort of,
terrifying.
yeah,
How are
which
we
is
that
so
old?
weird. And like, but they've opened their eyes to so many other different things as well. And they're definitely a lot more accepting of, doing what you have to do to get through life. And I think
Oh, totally.
that's one of the reasons I started following your account. Like, your dark humor and everything that goes with it was just absolutely brilliant. And I lit the one the first reel I saw of yours popped up in my doom scrolling wee hours of the morning, breastfeed. I think I was still feeding my youngest, and I was scrolling through, as you do, got to keep awake so that as soon as they go to sleep, you can go to sleep. But you never do.
You
And
never do, no.
the first reel I saw of yours was you were making a wrap. You licked you licked the edge of the wrap as if to say like you were rolling a joint. And it was like, and then it's captioned, "When Mum has a past." And it was just like, "Oh, this is brilliant. You made me laugh so hard."
You know what? And I love that. I love hearing stories like that where people are like, oh man, I was just like really tired, or I was just feeling really crap, or I was just like, oh, I was getting really down. And then I saw your video and it made me smile. Like, that's just, yeah, that's just the point. And I think that when, because I've had that Instagram account for a long time, but like most people, started off as my personal, private account. But pretty much since Instagram came out, I've used Instagram for, and it's use has changed over the years, if it was just for me, and I remember following so many accounts, and gosh, I used to have a break from following people because, gosh, I felt like the worst parent in the world. I wasn't giving my kids, grass-fed, raw, vegan, paleo donuts, like, and all this stuff. And I knew, like, the kind of pressure I was putting myself under to make my own nappy cream at home. Like, and you just think, gosh, like, how? Like, none of that was relatable. And, those were the kind of ideals I was surrounding myself around. And then, it takes a few nervous breakdowns until you realize, like, man, like, you can't achieve perfection no matter what you do, right? You still do your best. And it's a hard road to get there. But it wasn't until I started putting some of that material out, and people were like, oh my gosh, that's so relatable. And I was like, oh my gosh, you too?
Yeah,
You
but this is the
too? You
thing.
licked a wrap, and that's what you do once, like, and then you realize that actually one of the most important things for anyone is just to be left alone. That can be the most valuable thing for a person, is just for somebody else to be like, you know what? I know how you feel. I've
No,
been there.
100%.
And,
And that's exactly why I started the podcast in the first place, was because I felt alone. And, we've I mean, we've discussed this on our previous episode as well, but we've been fed this story of it takes a village to raise a child and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And what do we do when our village isn't there? And in my case, my mum is 40-minute drive away. Yours is, what, an 18-hour plane ride? So it's
27, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so, like, you know, we've had to build our own villages. This is the thing. Like, I moved to an area where my friends didn't live. You know, I moved here because it was cheaper. It was a really nice area. We were halfway between both of our families, but still I knew no one. And so I had to go out and make friends, which is very odd and weird thing to do as an adult. And then when those friends are older than you and already have kids, you then suddenly realize, oh shit, I need to make more friends who have kids. And this is like more effort.
Yeah.
But like, even like the other guests that I've had on, you know, I've had children's pediatric dietitians on and things like that as well, speech therapists and so on, who have helped share their knowledge about what to do and how to help and, you know, help you have to not look too far for everything that you need. And like, the reasons why I've connected with these people are because they're just real people. They're not dietitians who go, oh, and you need to make a 4-course meal from scratch and it has to be pureed exactly this grain rate so that the child doesn't choke and blah blah blah. And she's just like, if they eat a McDonald's, they're fed, you know, if they if that's the best you can do that day, cool beans. Next
maybe try giving
them some carrots. We'll see how it goes. You know, swap the chips for a fruit bag. Don't care. As long as your kid's eaten and they're healthy and they're not complaining about the food that you're giving them, you're doing a good job. And this is the sort of thing. I don't want to work with people. I don't want to talk to people who aren't part of, you know, building and that non-judgmental community. Like, that's the whole point. I want everyone to feel as comfortable as possible. No one has to put on a mask. No one has to hide what they're really doing or saying. Like, the amount of times.
No, and it's this whole, like, I don't know if you picked up on this thing on Instagram. Like, you know, because we all make jokes about, like, you know, mums and wine and that kind of stuff. But, you know, like, our mums need wine and all that.
Yeah.
You know, I think I did one recently about cutting alcohol, you know. And oh man, people get so offended, and mums get so offended, you know? And they get on this high horse about, oh, I get this, you know, this, you know, wine mum thing is just so crass, and it's so, you know, just pick something funny, and they get all like butt hurt of it, essentially.
Yeah.
And I mean, the irony is, I'm too social now, I haven't been for about a year. So I'm not actually doing for all. But now, have I drank in my life? Yes, of course I have. Do I think it's wrong to drink? No, I don't. Do I think it's wrong to drink in excess? Yes, I do. I don't think it's good for you. I don't think it's good for anyone's health. But now, what I don't like is that immediately you jump on the bandwagon of being like, no, mum shouldn't joke about that. Mum shouldn't drink. And no, mum definitely shouldn't joke about wine culture. And you're hurting other people with your words and with your content. And it's like, well, no. And I resent people thinking they can talk for other people as well. It's like, okay, so if you were offended by that, okay, be offended, but don't tell me that I'm potentially, maybe, you know, going to be hurting other people that might be struggling with something, because actually the majority of people that have struggled with that do reach out and say, listen, I was an alcoholic, or I am a recovering alcoholic, and I found this really, really funny, so don't listen to that, you know, and that's the you know, the hilarity of it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, isn't it? You know, there's such a judgmental edge to everything. And I feel like with mums in particular, we get a lot of the judgmental edge of everything. You know, and not everything. You know, I don't want to overstate it. But, you know, it's just a minefield of, you know, we're very good at judging each other as well. You know, we're not particularly nice to each other either. And then, it's imperfect, isn't it? It's imperfect.
It's really hard. And that, I think part of the problem is that people form their own opinions and then feel that they're right. Their opinion is the be all and end all. And then next thing you know, they're trying to force this opinion on everyone else. And it's just like, people are individuals who individually have different thoughts and different feelings about things. Something that you yeah. might feel comfortable with, someone else might feel incredibly uncomfortable with. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just really funny. Like, I know when I started, when I was a first time mum, I was like, I'm gonna breastfeed. I'm gonna baby led wean. I'm gonna do all this stuff, and I'm gonna make an effort. I'm gonna go to baby groups, and I did, and I was hoist upon my own petard when it came to breastfeeding, because she wouldn't fucking take a bottle. So I ended up feeding her for a whole year, and then having to cut her off cold turkey because that little kid bit me good, and I was like, I'm not feeding you anymore. No way.
I'm not doing it.
No, sorry. And so I
have a cup.
And I did do baby
a cold
led weaning.
Metal cup.
Yeah, and I did do baby led weaning, and you know what? It was for convenience, honestly, because I was already cooking those carrots. She can fucking well eat them. Why do I have to puree everything? And then when I had my second, I didn't have time for all this faff. I breastfed her for 6 months. We were in lockdown. I breastfed her for 6 months, and I put her on a bottle because I needed her to sleep. I needed sleep. And if she had a bottle before bed, she actually slept through. It was amazing. It was like a miracle happened. And when it came to us going out, and instead of like trying to cook little bits and make a sandwich or whatever to take out with us during the day, because, you know, when we could go out, we went out lots. Because we've been in flipping lockdown for forever, I fed her pouches. I'm not going to lie. I even let her suck the food out of the pouch. I was like, no, I can't. And then
is that wrong?
This is the thing, right? Any of it could be wrong. Like, oh, you baby led weaned, your child could choke, right? You pouch fed, you didn't make your organic broccoli stew 3 months in advance and then freeze it. No, I fucking didn't. And then with the third one, she literally ate exactly the same food as us, because that was the most convenient thing.
Hats off to baby led weaning. My eldest, so I did the really classic, like, I was such a first time, you know, made everything like super duper healthy, but it was probably bordering disgusting because it was so healthy. You know, he didn't just have porridge, you know, he had porridge with like collagen protein and chia seeds and, you know, dates and blah, you know, like just all the stupid healthy buzzwords. Yes, I was one of those, and kefir, you know, anyway. And you know, one time the health visitor came. She was like, yeah, you kind of need to be giving things he can kind of also, you know, hold and kind of crunch and munch on every now and again. And I think she'd mentioned like it's sort of Farley dress situation, because they're so bloody nutritious, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I went and got like the Sainsbury's equivalent. So he only goes an aspirate on it, right?
Oh, gosh. And
this is me, the Aminos. Yeah. No, like melted like an absolute puddle. To the point where I've still got PTSD from this, right? Like, it's taken years and so to, like, this was probably the most traumatic, like, anyway, he asked for it anyway, we got it out. But in the meantime, after that, you know, it was a miracle that I gave him anything but yogurt. Like, was too frightened to give him anything. Like, no, Luke, seriously, was going mad. I remember it, like, don't laugh. But I remember putting banana, just banana, in the food processor.
Oh.
Just banana in the food processor.
Oh.
Because I was terrified that he could even chop a banana. Like, this is like, no, girl, you have completely lost it, you know? Like, and I think one time.
You're not the only one. Like, I had such anxiety about like leaving the house. Like, I was probably bordering on agoraphobic. Like, I didn't want to leave the house in case anything went wrong. I literally had this pit in my stomach of walking anywhere. I just wanted to be in the car. Like, at least if I was in the car and I could drive up to the place to get out and be quick. And I knew I had this quick exit strategy. I knew where the car was. I knew I could get there quickly, leave. Then I was okay. But
was there like a thing you were worried that would actually happen, or was it just like the sensory overload of even being out, or was it both?
It was both. And I thought, where we used to live, we were like a 20-minute walk to the high street. And so I thought, oh, I'll go meet my friends for breakfast, but I'll walk there.
Yeah.
And I walked there and everything was fine. And then I walked back and it was on the walk.
Is this the baggie?
Yeah. And it was on the walk back that I didn't have the baby carrier. I only had the buggy. She wouldn't lie down.
Crying.
Yeah. She was 3 months old and she was still, I was still het up about her having to lay down and be flat in the
carry cot.
That no baby likes a fucking carry cot. Why do you make them? I hate them. Why bother making them? We should just sling carry every baby. So I've got her in the fucking carry cot.
Keep them in that car seat a little bit. We're calling my capsule here.
Yeah, no, I just had her in the carry cot and she screamed the entire way home, and there was a bench and I stopped and I fed her on the bench, but it's a busy road. And so there's all this traffic just going past me. And the whole time I'm just thinking, everyone's watching me. Everyone's looking at me. My baby won't stop crying. I'm feeding my baby. What is going on? And then literally I had to carry her while pushing the pram down the road. I had my headphones in so I could call my mum because I was so like upset about all of this. And then as soon as we got through the door, she farted and she was fine. I was just, are you actually kidding me? It was wind.
They just hate those carry pots. Genuinely, they hate those carry pots. Because I think they roll around them. They just hate them. Like all of my kids have.
I got rid of it.
To be fair, I didn't even try it with the third one. Didn't even try it with the third one. Didn't bother. But
I just laid the pram flat in the end.
So many times what you just described with my eldest, like that happened with me. And so he was a very colicky, silent, refluxy baby. And at the time, I don't think I realized that. But he did just cry all the time. For the first 3 months, he just cried and cried and cried and cried. Fed continuously. You know, he wouldn't really take things like Entacol or stuff like that. So it was really difficult to get him on things like that.
They're really flavoured as well. They taste really strong of orange, Infacol. It does. When all they know is milk, that's a really strong flavour. Why not milk flavour it, guys? Just a tip. Why make it taste of orange?
I know. I don't know. But yeah, looking back on it now, I guess he clearly had colours. But at the time, it won't stop crying kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
But you just, yeah, like I remember so many times, you know, I would try and go to like the mall with my mum. And, you know, we'd be 2 steps in and she'd be wanting to go to the shop or something. And then, baby start crying. And I'm and I was just so terrified to breastfeed in public in my first one as well. Like, I don't know why I didn't anticipate that. And no breastfeeding cover ever works. It's horrible. It's like literally trying to put a tent on yourself without suffocating the baby seeing what you're doing.
And once they get to once they get to like even 4 months, I was going to say six, but even four, it just becomes a tool to play peekaboo with. And the next thing, you know, they're under there and they're lifting it up and they're looking out. And then they go back in, have a little feed, and then they come back out again. And next thing you know, your boob's on show anyway. So what's the point of
I know. And I just figured out, you know what, later on, I was just like, you know what? Like, if I just wear a regular top, I can actually be really, really discreet about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't particularly care about what other people think. Like, But it's more just like
layering two t-shirts or something, and then just pulling one down and stuff like that, and it made it so much easier.
It really does. We've got quite a few Kiwi breastfeeding clothes brands too. And they are really nice. And they've got like breastfeeding and non-breastfeeding, but
There's a
they're,
few
you know, they're
springing up
considered pretty
here.
premium.
There's a few springing up here, but they're so expensive. But the
They are pretty
nicest
pricey.
ones I found were from Australia and New Zealand when I was looking for clothes for
Yeah,
myself. And I was
there
just like,
is
oh, I can't afford the shipping.
Addison. Yeah, I think it's Addison.
Yeah.
That's like a big one over here. But yeah, some of their clothes are beautiful. But yeah, very, very pricey.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can understand. But I think that, yeah, like when it's not your first rodeo, so to speak, you just, yeah, you should
Yeah.
figure out your age. But yeah, no, it's horrible. Like I really haven't gone back into the car in the car front just to try and breastfeed this
Yeah.
newborn in
Number of
this
times I've
hot
breastfed
car
in
in the
the
summer, and
car.
like it was a heat wave. Oh, horrible. Absolutely
Yeah.
horrible.
It's not nice.
You just don't know anything. You're just so, you know, for me anyway, I was just so innocently stupid. Just like so heartbreakingly dumb, you
But
know?
you
And
like I had a four I had I think it was 4 1-hour sessions run by the hospital that I hadn't been told about by my midwife that were like prenatal classes.
oh, I didn't go to
And
those.
I
Fantastic.
went only because I was like, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have loads of family around me to like help me with the baby and tell me what to do. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And just as my maternity leave was starting, my sister-in-law's was ending and she'd had her second child. And so like I didn't have anyone to hang out with that I knew. And so it was like, it was really strange. And those classes were absolute bollocks. They didn't help in any way. In fact, I think it made me more scared
Sounds right.
have the baby. And then, so I was just like, I give up. And then but it's just funny though, like the friendships you do make when you've had a baby. And so like I've made this friend at this group who was like like jointly well actually two ladies who were jointly as shocked as me about what was going on with pre-feeding and everything, and they'd come along to this free class with me, and then we'd sort of like colluded that we were going to book onto classes together as a group so that we
Trying to
knew
keep under
someone,
span,
and also so that we like didn't have to suffer the judgment of like these other women. And then there was someone else who joined our merry band of men, and we're still really good friends now. And basically it was like kismet. It was like we were meant to meet. First time we ever met, she opened the door for me in Starbucks because I couldn't quite work out how to get my new pram through the door while holding the door open and a coffee. And so she was sat by the door. She opened the door for me and I wheeled my pram out. And I was like, oh, thank you. And she was like, no, don't worry about it. And then we met at a mutual friend's birthday. And
Oh, nice.
I was feeding my daughter and she came and she bought me a cup of water. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And then she came and she sat with us with her husband and her children. We all had a nice chat. And then I saw her at and then we started going to all the baby groups together. She came to this to the same heartbeats class as us, and we were like, oh wow, okay, cool. So but then we all started going out for breakfast after certain classes and things so that we could just like take it in turns to hold each other's babies,
Oh,
because
bless
other
you.
people's babies are not your baby, and it feels so different to hold someone
No.
else's baby. It's actually a delight. And then
I
so
know. Yeah, totally.
we'd take it in turns to hold each other's babies while someone ate. Which one of us will eat now? Oh, this one. Okay, quick, stuff a sandwich down your neck, get going. And
That's kind
then
of hard, isn't it?
it's and then we and then Helen and I, our daughters, went to nursery together as well. And so it
Aww.
was like up until the age of four, our kids were like best friends just before they started school, and then they went off to different primary schools. But they were the most hilarious when they were together. They were just like, oh, they were just so naughty, but like in a funny kind of way. Like you couldn't be
Yeah,
mad
that's
because,
cute.
like, yeah, cute, naughty.
It was
Because, like,
just
the
too
random
hilarious,
stuff they'd come up with, you'd just be like, how the hell did they come up with that? But it's just, it's in some ways, like, those sorts of places, they do cause these friendships to arise, and out of the
Yeah, they
chaos of
totally do.
being a mum and everything else, you do form these fairly strong bonds. And I think that's,
You do.
we chat a
The
lot,
five
even
by
though
five.
we're different time zones, different, completely different places and stuff. I think, it's so nice just having someone to chat to, isn't it? But
No, it's so good.
I want to talk to you now about your podcast, which I'm so excited
I'm
about,
sure.
because you came to me and you were like, I'm thinking of doing this thing. Do
Oh,
you think it's a good
I
idea? Of course I think
want
it's a good idea. I'm
to
so
do
excited to listen to it. But yeah, tell us more about it. What's the premise? What can we look
Wow.
forward to?
Okay. So the premise is okay. So obviously, for those of you that don't know, I'm on Instagram. The handle is mumhacksforyou. So it's a comedy account, right? As you know. So, and off the back of that, I also have done a fair amount of comedy, just, based on my own mental health journey. And I do obviously have very dark humor. So yeah, there's been a few kind of little bit of controversial sort of videos I put on there, but largely sort of well received. But I have used that platform as well in the more recent months to address a lot of mental health subjects, I guess, mental health things. Just trying to make a point to just open the forum to discussion of those things. And the response has been really heartwarming, actually, actually really humbling as well. And people just getting in touch, from various other sides of the world, really, and being like, wow, thank you for sharing a little bit of a story that's actually really similar to mine, and it made me feel less alone, and just really humbling things like that. And just seeing that there's such a need to be talking about this news. There's so many things we're not talking about enough. How are we not talking about it? Like that this is clearly a problem. Why are we still not talking about these things? So yeah, I thought, like, let's do a podcast. Let's sort of dedicate it to the mental health sort of arm of Mum Hack Food, but also the there's always going to be a comedy edge to everything I do. I can't really, you can't take the troll out of the troll. You just it's there. So yeah, there's going to be that. There's going to be it's going to be like a tongue in cheek everything, with seriousness. But yeah, basically the main premise is going to be discussing mental health, discussing neurodiversity. We're going to got a few guests lined up for that, which is going to be really good. And just getting as many different people from different walks of life as much as possible. Because everybody's story is different, isn't it? And one of the things, probably my favorite thing is hearing people's stories. I love listening to people's personal stories. I love just listening and just seeing their different take on things, the way they've kind of, how they analyze certain things that happen to them, how they make sense of that in the world, all that stuff. And we're all different. We've all got wisdom that we can offer one another, yeah. So yeah, I hope that answers the question. So it's going to be a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek, sardonic podcast regarding mental health. So hopefully it's gonna be good.
Well,
But there will be guests.
I'm
It's not just gonna be me
excited.
rambling down at the camera. Although it might be that, you never know.
So you've already done a couple of lives as well on your channel. You did
Oh yeah, I
one
did, yeah.
with oh gosh, what I've gone blank. Well, you did one with Coach for
Oh,
Parents,
Mama
who has
Charted.
previously been on my podcast.
Yes,
And
he's been
yes.
on your podcast,
Yes,
hasn't he?
he has. So I connected with him because I also enjoyed his dark, humatic reels. And
See, I only heard of him because of you.
yeah.
No, he followed me on Insta or something.
Yeah,
I
but
definitely did not follow him first, Jack
no.
Barlow. Yeah.
But Jack came. I started following Jack, and then Jack came on the podcast, and I was like, part of the reason I wanted him on, and this is what I was saying to you about, I only like to get on people who are realistic people
Totally.
who
Yeah,
aren't,
totally.
like, and Jack is not one of those PTs who sits there and shows you how to make, a burrito that is like 200% protein. And that's how you're going to lose weight. He is not that kind of person. He's the kind of person that shows you that it's really actually all right to have a drink on the weekend,
And
or
Jack actually even cooked.
yeah. And and that and
That laughs
he's just so realistic. He's so funny. And so I started following him, and I just wrote to him, and I'd been approached by another PT who shall not be named, and I wasn't impressed with the content. It
It was
was
Gwyneth
very
Paltrow,
it was no it was another male
wasn't it? Was it an all bone broth?
it was another male PT who decided that mansplaining periods to women was a really good idea, and how you do your weight will fluctuate because you will have water retention in the 2 weeks leading up to your period, which then you will lose, and
Please,
you'll think,
sir,
oh my God,
do
I've
tell
lost
me
so much
more about
weight.
your vagina.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And I was just like, you know what? No. So I actually reached out to Jack because I was just like, mate, you talk about all sorts of stuff. And he did one reel that I followed him from was he did a come with me to Asda and see my for my what was it? My losing weight haul. Like all the food I
Oh.
buy to lose weight, I'm going to do a reel on a haul reel on what I bought from Asda to lose weight, and then he just cut, and he was like, I'm not doing that because that's a load of fucking bullshit. And I was like, yes, true. And he was just brilliant. And I know you two had a good conversation. You've been chatting as well, but yes, you also did a live with yes, Mum Uncharted, and it was
Yes, I
a very
did. Yeah.
serious subject, wasn't it? I mean, it's something that we all
It
need to
was,
be
yeah, and I'd love
concerned
her.
with.
Yeah, no, we've sparked up a good relationship again on Instagram. And yeah, I would love to have her on the podcast again, if you want to. Yeah, phenomenal lady. Yeah, like there are some, that's not a lot. You know what? Like when I first started doing this, and when I first started getting, when a few of the videos started going really viral, like obviously, Instagram. And I'm a millennial mum, so what more to do with my life? Become an influencer, babe. So obviously all of the brands start reaching out. They're like, you know what? We've got this thing that's like a lip hair plucker that we think you'd be perfect for,
Oh
doll.
my God, brilliant.
And all kinds of stuff. And so yeah, I would look at some of these things and be like, oh, yeah, I do want to make money, so. And then, I just got to the point, I was like, no, I can't do this. I'm not an influencer. I don't want to be. I just want to be funny and make fun of things. That's genuinely what I
Yeah.
want. And talk about stuff that matters. So I've chose to lean into that. And actually, that's been really fun. Why I'm talking about this, I don't know. What even was I saying? So I don't want to be an influencer. So I've enjoyed using the platform to talk about some of the serious stuff as well.
Yeah.
So obviously the child exploitation online is a huge one. I've learned a lot from Sarah, and I think that that's something that we really need to be talking more about. Definitely, the majority of parents are not aware. For those of you that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, her Instagram handle is mum as in MOM dot uncharted. She's a lady who's based in Canada and one that's just basically spreading awareness about children getting exposed online, particularly by their parents. So it's quite crazy that she just gives education essentially on how we can all keep our kids safer online. And
Yeah.
I've learned huge amounts. But I love being able to use that platform, use this, this random social media platform that I somehow have to be able to discuss some of that stuff, because it's. We need to know this stuff, just like the mental health stuff. We need to be talking about this stuff. We can't just not be talking about this stuff. It's 2023.
Yeah.
It's literally 2023. We cannot not be talking about these things.
No,
You
and
know,
it's.
we've got access to so much. We need to be able to talk about this stuff
I've.
and learn from it.
Yeah, I've. I mean, I've had guests on to talk about, supporting your child through fussy eating and how to help your child while they wait for a speech therapy appointment, and dealing with your behavior as well as your children's behavior, and so on. But my best performing podcasts have been the ones about issues that people really care about, like body image post pregnancy. Like, your body changes. You are no longer, you might not recognize who you see in the mirror. And so we not only grieve our previous lives of, previously before being a mum, like being having that independence, being able to go out and do those things without having anxiety attacks about having to breastfeed your child when you go out. But also, like, you might look in the mirror and you might have stretch marks or have a bit of saggy skin on your tummy or have more cellulite than you had before. That's all normal. And so that. Oh yeah,
It's
mate, don't
the
even
bane
talk to
of
me
my
about
life
my
at the
back
moment.
fat. Jack
No,
shared
you don't want to see
a
my
photo
back
with
fat.
everyone of my back fat. Thanks, Jack. And then also
Oh, did he put it on his jacket?
oh yeah, there's a lovely reel of my before and afters so far on his Instagram.
Did you consent to that hate
No, he was bigging me up. It was fine.
speech?
We've also discussed the mental load of motherhood and sobriety. That's a really good ep. And also flexible working, how to approach your boss to ask for flexible working, because, like, we don't realize that. I mean, here in the UK, you probably had this like 900 years ago, because like New Zealand is so much more advanced than we are.
Something, yeah.
But like,
Something.
a lot of parents, let alone mums, parents, dads too, don't even realize what they're eligible for when it comes to flexible working and being able to approach their boss and their organization that they work for to be able to ask for flexible working to help be at home more and make life and childcare cost less. And so
Let me tell you,
it's,
working at the NHS was awful.
yeah.
And we had, you know, the NHS has one of the best maternity sort of maternity leave things, I guess would you call it, maternity leave policy. But they were terrible to work for, and the genuinely, look, I had good colleagues. I have, you know, very dear to my heart, but you know, just like that cliche saying, you were literally made to work like you did not have children, literally made to work like you did not have children. And God forbid you should have to take a day off to work. Yeah, like you felt the shame of that. You felt the judgment, you know, you should have come up with a plan,
God.
you know? And it's just like, what a crap. Like, I remember working with a girl who had an IV line in. I was going for a CC later, a nurse. You know, like, we were like, I remember like working hard, like with, never mind, I probably shouldn't divulge too much, but like, yeah, with an IV line in, like she was up there for CC, she was in agony, but like we didn't have the stuff, you know, like,
It's absolutely crazy, isn't it? And then,
So I hope it's not still like that, but yeah, and that was ED, so yeah, like it's intense anyway, it's probably pretty intense in ED, but. You know, like the, yeah, even in some of the places where you would get longer, like, you know, because we'd get a whole year off and we'd get a large portion of that paid. But, you know, it doesn't mean that it is necessarily a family-friendly work
No.
environment.
Yeah. And I
Very
think that,
stressful doing like that.
like, there's just been so much going on recently over here with returning to work, post lockdown. A lot of people got used to working from home, working remotely, and some people even moved away from where their work was to like be closer to family. Like, I know people who moved from London to Manchester because that's where they're originally from. They could get more support with their kids and things, and they were working
Makes
remotely,
sense,
so it didn't matter. And then they get called back to the office, and they're like, "You have to be in 2 days a week minimum." And they were like, "Oh, how am I going to do that? I live in Manchester." And so
yeah.
There's loads, the job market's been absolutely crazy, like especially the last 6 to 8 months, with people like changing job because they no longer work where their work is, and having to go back to at least a couple of days in the office, which is just crazy. And to change the goalposts like that, it's really difficult. So talking about subjects like that is so important, but also like I'm so excited to hear you talking about your own experiences with guests who, you know, are either going through it or are knowledgeable of the of all of that stuff as well. And I'm really excited for you. I'm so excited.
I've got this really beautiful studio situation at the moment where, you know, I've got a little microphone thingy on my test freezer, and I've currently got a view of my husband's work tools, and my car is somewhere over there in the background. So, you know, we're doing this, you know, from scratch.
I like it.
We are just,
do it.
No, she doesn't know anything to do, clearly. Like, still trying to figure out the Spotify, you know, the blue one. Trying to figure out all of that stuff. But yeah, no, I'm super excited as well, just to be, just to get to chat to people about their side of things as well. Just, I love having those conversations. So it's actually going to be really fun being able to have those.
Yeah.
I think that, like anything, there's the anxiety about, oh gosh, you know, this is done, I'm not super good technically.
If you listen, like my first couple of episodes, you'll hear how rough and ready it was.
I'm gonna listen to the first one.
I've actually got a fairly good intro and outro, guys. I don't know if you noticed. and also like my background is better. It's no longer a blurred background with an exercise bike in the back of it. But things improve, things get better as the more you do it. And I think people quite enjoyed the rough and readiness of the first ever season of Mum's Working Chaos. And you know, it's all about keeping it real,
Axidia.
It's all about keeping it real.
Totally, totally. And you know, it's all good. And at the end of the day, you know, it's meant to be lighthearted. It's meant to be real. It's meant to be funny. It's meant to make you laugh. It's meant to make you cry, you know, all the stuff. And yeah, you know, it's just meant to be real. Because I'm so sick, and I think everyone's sick, of curated rubbish. Of just, you know, going on social media and just seeing everyone's like curated ideals. And, you know, even all this, like, you know, like you said, your 200 grams of protein burrito, you know, like, can we all just be real? You know, So, yeah, I think I've rambled enough about that. But yes, I also am very excited. Hopefully we can get it out in October.
Yes. Hopefully. And if you need any help, let me know. But
are you kidding? Yes.
Hit me up. So, you know, people who don't follow Axinia already, please do. She's amazing. She's so funny. You'll find her on Instagram at mumhacks4u. How are we going to find out about your podcast? How will you let us know? Will you do an announcement on your Instagram? Is that the best way to find out when it's going to be released?
Yes, I'm going to be putting it on the Instagram page, and we'll be doing it on Facebook sadly as well. Because there's a Facebook page as well, but Instagram is the best place to go. So we'll be putting it on Facebook, if you're on Instagram. So yeah, just on the Insta page.
Excellent. Yeah. And I will make sure to share it with everyone as well when you go live.
Thank you so much. And I'm definitely going to be keeping you in the loop and be like, how do I work this Spotify? But hopefully, it's all going to be fine.
You've got my WhatsApp now. Okay. You know where I am. I'll expect a message at 3 in the morning going, I don't know what I'm doing. Help.
a message. You mean a 25-minute voice note head talk for a video. Just like trauma dumping.
Random video clips. If I press this button, does it go live? What happens now? We'll be FaceTiming before we know it.
Hopefully, it's not just going to be a pod of me just rambling at people. But, you know, It'll be good. It'll be good. There's going to be lots and lots on ADHD, ASD stuff, adult ADHD, adult ASD, Tourette, all the things.
Amazing.
So yeah. Yeah. So that's what's going to be really good. We've got quite a large community of young adults here that do have Asperger's, Tourette, OCD, ADHD, autism, and various other things that fall into the spectrum as well. But I'm very keen to talk about their experience as well, and I'm quite happy. So it's going to be quite awesome to see them as well, to share their experiences and what life looks like for them, which I'm very keen to do. So
I'm really
yeah, I think
excited
that's probably the
to.
part of it that I'm most excited for. Yeah.
No, I'm really excited. My eldest is almost at the point of being diagnosed with ADHD now, which is amazing. It's gone really quickly. She's started
Oh,
her speech therapy
cool.
sessions, and
Yay.
I'm still waiting to hear anything about my referral for ADHD, which is really annoying. But still, the joys of the
Yeah.
NHS and adult inclusion is very difficult. But
Yep.
we'll get there. But yeah, it's it I'm excited to listen to it and listen to more of you in general anyway, because I love you.
Oh,
So
thank you, my
there
friend. Thank you. Thank you. It's
you
always lovely to be seeing your face and chatting, definitely. And also I fully like I don't just expect, I require you to be covered on my podcast.
I
You
would love
know
to
this.
come on your podcast. I would love it. I was
And
actually on.
especially, if and when you get diagnosed as well, you mean that that means you'll be part of like our elite team of like broken brain people.
Yes, please.
You
I'm
know this,
100% there
you're part of
already,
us.
but.
Yeah, you can join us, it's fine. But you're part of us now, which means you'll have to come and we'll
Love you. I
interview
feel
you, and
so
you can trauma dump
included.
on us, and we'll trauma dump on you. It'll be, it'll be
Well,
great.
thank you so much for coming on again and being with me.
Thank you for
And
having me again.
please do follow Axinia. I'll put all of her details in the show notes so you know where to find her. And I will also be sharing her podcast when it goes live. I'll see you next week.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mum's Work in Chaos, please make sure to subscribe on whatever podcasting channel you're listening on at the moment. Or if you'd like to get involved, feel free to email me at mumsworkandchaos@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at mumsworkandchaos. See you then.